Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Looking for something sweet and a little different? Discover Michoacana Corinth Ice Cream Shop. Everything is made fresh in-house, from rich, creamy ice cream to refreshing agua frescas and handcrafted popsicles. And yes, they are on DoorDash. Michoacana Corinth Ice Cream Shop. Homemade flavor in every bite.
Thursday edition of the show. My name is Michael Borky. Always appreciate you being here. Training camp is finally here. Now, I'm frustrated, to be honest with you. I'm disappointed, and I am frustrated with whoever is running the Ole Miss social media accounts. We got so close to getting the training camp, preseason camp, not fall camp thing. We've gotten it out of Mississippi State. I thought we got it out of Ole Miss. We apparently have not, because they spent all day after a ton of progress was made calling it fall camp. There's nothing fall about August 6th. The football season does not exclusively occur in the fall. Training camp, preseason camp, that's what this is. But we are, we're talking about it nonetheless. We are so glad that you are here and you subscribe wherever you get your podcast. Just search the name and you can subscribe. And if you like what you hear, leave a rating and a review. Also right here on YouTube as well. Like, comment, subscribe, all that good stuff. Would really appreciate that. We are inching closer and closer to the start of college football season. I think on the radio show, it was team number 23 on the countdown of 100 teams in 100 days. So we're 23 days away from week zero. So not week one, but week zero is what we're counting down to. And yeah, I'm just glad you guys are here. I've got 6 cuts from Pete Golding's press conference. I don't want to play the entire thing. It's just 15 minutes straight. So I cut out some of the more interesting stuff that I liked from what he had to say today, and we'll talk about that. So that's what we'll do. Practice is officially here. Media viewing period for practice was punts. That's it, was punts. Now, apparently Kewon Lacy fielded a couple of punts. I said this on the radio show. I'll say it here as well. I think they're just letting him do that in practice. I don't anticipate him actually doing that in a game setting. If that day comes, if the day comes that Kewon Lacy takes the field at Ole Miss to catch a punt, storm the field. Don't let it happen. If he runs out there to field a punt, go storm the field and block it from happening. Have a football surrection, right? Not an insurrection, not January 6th, on September 6th. If Kewon Lacy goes out to field a punt, storm the field. You cannot let that happen, okay? I know it's unlikely. It doesn't seem like that's going to be a thing that's going to go down. But if it does, you have to take it upon yourselves to prevent that. Can't be having Kewon Lacy fielding punts. Can't have that. Otherwise, the media got to see nothing today. But we did get to hear from Pete Golding, so you will get to hear from that as well, including... They're all mostly shortcuts, and then I've got a three-minute one. He was asked about how do you get players to be mentally prepared for the big moments and the big spots in the SEC. It was really interesting. So that's going to be a bit of a longer one, so my apologies for that, but it's really good, and so I'll bring that to you guys here as well shortly. After I tell you about Scruggs Farm Lawn and Garden in Saltillo, Mississippi. Anything you need under one roof for home improvement, appliances, even clothes, great boots, and more. They've got you covered. Anything for your garden or your lawn or your hunting property or your deer camp, they have it all at Scruggs. And I mean, they have it all. Just a short drive from Oxford, but I know there's a lot of you in North Mississippi
that are listening to this right now, that is the place to go for all of that. And they also have 0% on your John Deere, America's tractor, America's lawnmower, 0% financing, 36 months on zero turns, 0% for 36 months on commercial mowers, compact tractors, 0%, 72 months, 5 series, 0%, 84 months, even a Gator at just 1.9%. They will take care of you, and they are just like you. That's the best part about them. They're relatable. They're not salespeople. That they're you that just so happen to work at this place. So they're relatable. They know what they're talking about. They're not just trying to sell you something. They use those things that they are trying to sell. So go check them out and tell them that it was me that sent you there. All right, starting with some of these peak cuts. I've got six of them. Here's the first one. He was asked about health, but more specifically, a couple of rather significant portal pickups that they got that did not participate in spring because of injury. Jordan Renaud and Edwin Joseph. And here's what he had to say about the two of them. And this is going to be kind of a theme, I think, just with Pete Golding in general in this answer. We'll talk about it on the other side.
It was really good to get some of those guys that weren't able to go through spring in a competitive period back out there and really see, are they who we thought they are? And those two that you brought up, I think, have the ability to be really good players. Really impressed with the summer that Edwin's had. The work ethic, we're still working on a little bit on some of the outside things, but when you spot the ball, the kid's special. He's got unique ability. He's got a lot of versatility. So thought he had a really, really good first day, and it was good to see him show up when it mattered. I think Jordan has gotten a lot better in the weight room. You know, obviously we had the surgery in the spring and had a really good summer, and I think he gives us a different presence on the edge. He's heavy-handed, but he's athletic enough to be a good pass rusher as well. So I was really excited to see both of them have pretty good days and be healthy.
Edwin Joseph is somebody that they really need to be what they thought that he would be when he entered the portal. He's the Florida State transfer. And as we talked about at the end of last season, they needed more depth on the defensive line. And also, as we talked about, sidebar, they had to build that defense on a budget last year. This year, not as much. But they did not have playable depth on the defensive line the way they needed. The linebacker position was just simply not good, not good enough. And they had good to below at, like, they had at times below average safety play, and then at best they had average to decent safety play a season ago. They could have been a lot better at that position, and a guy like him is somebody that would have made a massive difference on last year's team. And I mean, you add a guy like him just in the Miami game alone, especially some of those long third downs, I mean, it could change that complexion of that game. And so he is that kind of player that can be that. He's the type of player that they were missing last season. But I like that from Pete Golding, and you'll hear it when you hear him talk about offensive line as well. There's just, forgive my language, earmuffs, everybody. There's just no bullshit. You know, all coaches are kind of full of it. There is coach speak in some of these answers, but, you know, he's willing to say, man, there's some stuff he's got to work on off the field. It just, you know, at practice, he's great. There's other stuff that he's got to work on right now, as opposed to what you get from other coaches. Man, he's just doing great. He's just doing great. We're happy he's here. And you get no substance. The offensive line one that you're going to hear here in a little bit is more along those lines. But the willingness to be honest about players, especially in this era, is super refreshing. And I imagine the players will ultimately like that as well, because if they want to play at the next level, that's what you're going to get at the next level. So, some brutal honesty, and you're not going to get your hand held. So if he's got things that he's got to get better at, the coach is willing to say that publicly. I like that, because it's not condescending. He's not calling him out. He's just being honest, because it's clear that he has said that to him as well. Anyway, I like that a lot. But hearing that he's at least, you know, flashing the way you'd hope is encouraging. You just hope that he completely turns that into 24/7 matching what his ceiling is, which is incredibly high. All right, mentioned offensive tackle. You'll hear that in this answer as well. That is the position of most importance, attention. Underline it, draw an arrow to it, circle it. Offensive tackle, that's the one. We've talked about it all offseason. We'll talk about it all training camp. We'll talk about it going into the game against Louisville. It's offensive tackle. He was asked about it. Here's what he had to say there.
It's for you as well.
Yeah, I mean, I think when you're talking about 5-0 linemen, it's kind of like a puzzle. And I think sometimes, you know, I could take this piece and move it over here, but is that a perfect fit over here? So I think Tommy, like I said kind of previously, he has really flashed to be an SEC player. We just want to see it more consistently. I think fall camp will be good from him from a body standpoint. We still got to cut some of that a little down. I think he's a little heavy than he needs to be right now to be able to sustain in this league. We're just kind of getting Kern back healthy. You know, he's been out and had that surgery in the spring. Obviously, we loved his ability on tape, the maturity component, and obviously the consistency and being able to trust him to do the things right on a consistent basis. We haven't been able to see because he hadn't been able to do it from an injury standpoint. So we definitely think from a talent standpoint in this league, you want those two to battle it out, right? And is that a rotation? What does that look like by Louisville? Knowing you have other things with the Cutises of the world and some of those other guys that have played a lot of football that you could move and bump out that would create other opportunities for other guys inside and things like that. So I think early for these first 2 weeks, let's battle it out. Let's leave them in the spots they've been. And then the last 2 weeks when you're going to have the mock game week and going into the game, like, all right, now it's real. All right, who can we really trust to play winning football? And out of those guys who are our best five to run out there first, and then if an injury was to occur, who do we move? So that'll be constantly looked at throughout camp, but we got several options.
All right, so that is something that we've talked about this offseason as well, that there was some talk that because they have depth, more depth on the interior of the offensive line, possibly experimenting, moving some guys out, and he made reference to that there. But he mentioned Tommy Kinsler. He's got to slim down a little bit. He's a little too heavy right now if he's going to play 12 games and beyond in the SEC. Not at this weight, he's not going to be able to do that. And again, it's not condescending. It's just, hey, I know what it takes to win in this league. I know what it takes to play offensive line for 12 games plus in this league. And right now, you've got to fix something about you if you want to be able to pull that off. And the honesty about that's really refreshing, because now you know exactly where Tommy Kinsler stands. I love that. I love a coach that's willing to actually give you something in press conferences, because I think, as you guys hear me say all the time, I think you, the fan, deserves to know what's going on with your team. If you can't watch practice, at least you get something, right? And so now you know, hey, look at right tackle. Tommy Kinsler's flashing. He's got the physical ability, but he's got to slim down a little bit. You're informed as a fan, and I like that. They seem really confident in Terez Davis, but the other position is a little of concern. But also, as we've talked about before, the offense helps. The Kewon Lacy's pass protection in particular is really good. Trinidad's elusive. They get the ball out quickly and so on. Speaking of, Pete Golding was asked about John David Baker, and here's what he said about his new offensive coordinator.
Just where's the comfort level between you and him and kind of getting that offense where y'all want it to be?
I'll tell you after Louisville. No. No, I mean, obviously I trust JDB. He's done it well. It's been a really good fit. I think he's added a couple of new wrinkles that are good based on the people that we have. But to me, JDB from the very beginning was a plug and play, right, that already had some rapport with some current players that were already here that understood the system and believed in the system while still, you know, every year tweaking it a little bit and adding some new things. So I love how he coaches. I love what he's about. I think he's a really good recruiter as well. I think the kids respond to him really well. And I think him and Joe work really well together. So I like where they're at. From a day one standpoint, when you're looking at day one of camp, I think we're further along of guys knowing what to do and having more things in than we've had before. So I think he's done a good job up to this point.
Coach,
pretty encouraging stuff there with his, especially his relationship with Joe Judge. But not surprising. That was kind of coach speaky, but not surprising. He could have gone a lot of different directions offensively, and I promise you there was a lot of people out there that wanted to get the opportunity to coach this roster. So there's a reason he chose John David Baker. We'll see if that ends up working out. He was asked about buy-in, especially with new players. Are they bought in the way that you want them to be? Here's what he said.
You know, it's funny you kind of asked that. I was kind of messing with Deuce in between a period of day. I'm like, hey, dude, like if you could pick one teammate, like just one teammate, not based on ability, but just one teammate that you want to be around, that you're starting a team, that you're going to build a team around. Like the dude he named is brand new. And I think a lot of these guys that didn't play last fall are really, really good dudes. And our guys enjoy being around them because they're like-minded like them. And I know I keep on saying this, but like we go back, like if they're not tough, competitive, and they don't love football, like we don't recruit them. And so I think there's so many guys that have the same mindset that came here for the right reason. They came here to try to get one game better. And they know they weren't a part of last year's legacy. Right? They want to help these guys that were here last year try to improve by one game. So I think there's several guys that weren't on our team last year that I think when you look at the leadership council, you know, what it looks like right now, what it's going to look like at the end of this year is not going to be the same. And I think a lot of guys that are going to be on that unit weren't on last year's team. And so I really like this class, both a blend of the portal guys and the high school guys. But I also think that's part of because we got a really good nucleus of guys that did come back. And so I really like the blend. I think they enjoy being around each other. And I think they enjoy competing with each other, which is awesome. Makes my job a lot more fun.
Pete, you talked about creating it.
There was seemingly a phenomenon. So sometimes in the offseason, you get some of that cliche, they just love playing for one another, and that kind of can be coach speaky too. But one thing that really helped during all of the saga at the end of last season, keeping that team together, was those things that he mentioned there. And there is a lot of those guys still around, and a lot of those guys that went through that and they banded together and played great football and they did all those things, they're still around. And so when you have that kind of emotional nucleus, that's huge for a football team. There are a lot of cliches. There's a lot of camp cliches, but one thing in football is true. You have to be physical, but you have to have a level of trust and togetherness if you're going to win at the highest level. You can't have a team of individuals. That will never work in a sport like this. It has to be that way. So coaches talk about things like culture and all that stuff so much, but you have to have that. You have to have a group of guys that are selfless and only care about doing whatever they need to do to help the team win and enjoying being around each other, because that builds trust, and trust becomes a quality football team. And you do the right things on Saturdays. And so knowing that they've got that group back and they've had that experience, I think does have a major impact on what the ceiling of the team actually can be. All right, here's that long answer. Talking about preparation and having nerves and how do you eliminate those and those kind of things. This is really good stuff. It's 3 minutes long, but it's excellent. And so here Pete Golding is right now talking about preparation and standards and all that stuff. It's really good.
Guys in with experience, hoping that the moment or the game or the stage isn't too big. And then now the focus starts becoming on something that doesn't really matter. Okay. And so I do think we have a lot of guys that have played in a lot of big games at big places and all that, that I think there's not a lot of anxiety going into certain things. Like we mentioned a couple years ago, 23, they're taking pictures of new stadiums and like, what are we doing? You know, so I don't think there's any of that. But I think the sense of urgency to making sure that we're getting the playbook down from a communication standpoint and the attention to detail. And that's my thing that we've got to continue to improve on. Like, this isn't summer OTAs player run. Right? Like, you don't get that my bad. You know, I mean, the focus and the attention to detail and the effort, like, it's got to be more consistent. So we're definitely not where we need to be at all. We got a lot of work to do. But that needs to pick up a little bit, in my opinion.
We'll take a question up top.
Coach, you kind of just talked about performance anxiety. I was curious to know what is, I guess, a process or a method that you kind of talk to guys about when they do get on that stage and the lights do get bright. How do you help them just settle into the moment and be the best player that they can be?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I think in my opinion, every profession is the same. Like, guys get nervous and they get anxious when they're not prepared. Does that make sense? Like, when you're actually prepared for your interview, or you're prepared for this job or whatever it is, and you've worked your ass off and you've done everything you're supposed to do, like, there's some nerves there, but it's based on excitement. Does that make sense? It's not like the nervous, like, oh, I don't know what's going to happen. Well, how is it going to be, and all those type of things. So I think the preparation component, like, that's on us. That's our responsibility as coaches to make sure we're preparing them the right way and we're putting them in situations throughout practice that nothing's going to come up in the game that they haven't prepared for. And I think when you do that and you make Monday through Friday so much more harder than Saturday, then now that anxiety is relieved a little bit. So I've never met a true competitor that I think's got competitive character that talks about anxiety. Like, I just haven't done that. And I'm not talking bad about anything else, but it's like, no, go work your ass off, practice really hard, let's prepare the right way, and let's go play. All right? And if we don't contest every play, all right, and we don't do what we're supposed to do, we shouldn't win, and we probably won't win in this league. But if you do, and you do what you're supposed to do Monday through Friday, then Saturday, right, when it matters, you're probably going to make the play you should because you have Monday through Friday. So, to me, it's all back to the preparation component. Obviously, we use a lot of outside resources and other things outside of X's and O's to help with that. All right, I'm well aware of the times and all the things, and we make sure we use every resource we possibly can. But you do try to create as most competitive environments that you can and put them in those and create one-on-one scenarios and bring it up in front of the team to start kind of getting that, like, look, dude, you're going to get beat. You're going to miss a tackle. You're going to drop a ball. You're going to throw a pick. It's going to happen. Right? The greatest in the world have done it. How are you going to respond from it? So hopefully we can continue to do that throughout camp.
That's just good stuff right there. I do love, it's very clear that something that happened in 23, it specifically, I think it was the Georgia game. You got players walking around, taking pictures of the stadium, doing videos like, oh, look where I am. He's made reference to that a bunch of times, and it's clear that that has bothered him still. And yeah, really, really good stuff there. Just not much to add other than, what's that move? Old school, right? Where they're having the debate and they've got Will Ferrell's character with, what was it, James Carville? And Will Ferrell goes first and Carville's like, I got nothing. That was excellent. Yeah, that's how I feel right now. All right, last thing. This he was asked about the court cases, like the one out of Colorado that's doing the fifth-year eligibility thing, and, you know, how do you handle that? And here's what he said about that.
Well, I mean, I think a lot of this, I think Taylor does an unbelievable job in our compliance, and he does, you know, he has a good feel of what are things that are being talked about and floated out there that could be voted on in the future. Okay, if that was to happen, what would be your stance on it, and all those. So there's very few of them that actually get passed that, like you didn't heard about it. All right, is there a plan in place? But I think the management of the roster and the team, are you going to wait on that moment and actually leave space and it might not get passed? I'm always going to go based on what are the rules right now and have a plan for if it does occur. But I think Taylor does a great job, and Keith and all those. And we talk about a lot of these in the head coach meetings. They get brought up. They're not voted on yet, but it potentially could occur. And so you're kind of ahead of it from that standpoint. But, no, I mean, I refer to Taylor and those in a lot of that. And just like, hey, man, when this is real, call me.
You know,
I will say, which that's just kind of funny how much they have to deal with and navigate as there's constantly new stuff and new rules popping up. But I will give Ole Miss a ton of credit. They have really done a good job of being prepared and not essentially not guessing wrong in a way. I mean, you saw it with when collectives first started becoming a thing. Texas A&M, a few others, tried to do this nonprofit thing, and Ole Miss did not because they knew that it was going to be a certain way. When it comes to the College Sports Commission, the clearinghouse, they were able to get through that and get their deals through that more than most everybody else. They have been very good at being ahead of things administratively, from the collective to the AD and all that. They've done such a good job with getting out ahead of stuff like that. So the head coach can't be bothered with things that may or may not happen, but I will say Ole Miss does have a track record of not being blindsided by new rulings or things like that. We'll read some of your comments for just a few minutes after I tell you Logan Smith Shelter Insurance has got you covered anywhere in Mississippi for auto, home, life, or business insurance. Auto, home, life, or business insurance. He's in Brookhaven, but he'll take care of you anywhere in this state. 601-823-3500. That's the phone number, 601-823-3500. Tell him it was me that sent you when you call him. Get a quote. It's just a short phone call. You'll see why you need to switch to Logan Smith at Shelter Insurance. And finally, Priority One Bank, they make you their priority every single day. Online banking platforms outstanding, 16 locations in Mississippi, local loan servicing and decision-making. It's in the name. They make you their priority at Priority One Bank and Advantage Business Systems, absms.com for all of your Mississippi office technology needs. Preseason game on the TV, Borky on the iPad, football is back. Yeah, how about Carson Beck and Haynes King going at it tonight and playing well? Like, you got good quarterback play in the Hall of Fame game. That is a pretty rare thing to get quality quarterback play in the Hall of Fame game. But remember, Carson Beck was a guy that wasn't, you know, too terribly long ago considered to be somebody that would be the number one pick in the draft. So the talent's there. Same thing with Haynes King. Haynes King is a stud. Apparently, Caden Prescorn has done something in the game, although I'm obviously not able to watch it right now, but man, Haynes King, Carson Beck, dueling it out. That's pretty cool. Are the Cardinals' offense that good or are the Panthers' defense so bad? Oh, don't read into the Hall of Fame game. Although, as a Saints guy, I want the Panthers' defense to be bad. No, I did not see the basketball goal in the dumpster in person, but I did see the pictures. And yeah, that look, you don't want to change everything because there are a lot of things that they were doing that is working. Pete Golding himself has said that. And that's a good thing. The basketball goal needed to go. It did. You can take your gimmicks a little too far, and that was too much, and it needed to go, and I'm glad it's gone. How are we doing, everyone? We're doing good. Couldn't tackle Tony in the Miami game when it mattered. And yes, that's the difference. And I think that they have upgraded in the back end of the defense. They just have to go prove it. Did you catch Jonte Cook reference disagreements with the previous coach as the reason why he didn't come to Ole Miss originally? I did not. I'll have to go listen to that. But not everybody, you know, as you can imagine, with this applies to every coach, but especially Lane Kiffin. His style wasn't for everybody. That's, you know, you guys know the rest by now. Never made the trip to Bouray on a Thursday night for the coaches show, but Pete's going to end up making me want to go to those. I mean, truly, they're actually worth listening to. He actually provides you depth in his answers, and sometimes there's coach speak, and I understand that, but I learned something listening to him today. And, you know, you can put your ear to the ground and try to get information and stuff like that, and I think I do an okay job of that, but with a guy like Pete, especially the players as well, you can learn a lot from the players sometimes as well. But I learned things today from Pete Golding. I learned about Edwin Joseph. I learned about Jordan Renaud. I learned about Tommy Kinsler. All of that today. Learned that what we're, you know, what the rumors were about testing some guys maybe at tackle is a thing that they're looking into and considering. So, yeah, I do think we learned something from Pete today. Hit the like button. Give the man his flowers. I don't need any flowers, but I appreciate you. Mentioned it on the main show today, and I agree with you. The 2024 season was a failure. Yeah, here's the thing, man. State fans get into our text line on the radio show. like just an offshoot, like one-off comment today where I was like, yeah, I got the 2023 season and the 2024 season very briefly confused. We were talking about Drew Brees Hall of Fame and how essentially Drew Brees helped revive the city of New Orleans. And so not only is he getting into the Hall of Fame on merit, but he's also the rare player that does the city exist the way it does without him? And that answer is probably not. And, you know, somebody on the text line was like, well, there were other players too that helped. And I said, you know, of course, but the quarterback gets all the flowers. And I said, well, Jackson Dart is going to get a lot of credit for the 24 season. I was like, wait, no, the 24 season was the bad season. 23 is when they went and won the Peach Bowl and had state fans get into the text line about, what are you talking about? They had a historically elite season in 24. Ole Miss, you know, blah, 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 blah. Ole Miss should be happy with that. And the answer is no. And none of you were. When you have the best defense in the country and you lose the games that they lost, it's inexcusable. So that's where that came from. That's how that started. But you'll always have questions about the 24 season. There will always be unanswered questions. There's a lot of rumors about, you know, why that team was distracted and all that. But at this point, I guess it doesn't matter. I do know, though, that when people suggest that Ole Miss reached their ceiling during the last 5 years, they're wrong. They're wrong. They were closer to it than they've been. Absolutely. They were closer to it than they've been. But not anywhere close. They still can take multiple steps forward as a program and should have in certain spots. And maybe Pete's the guy that can lead them to that. Maybe he's not. But that was not a program that was operating in maximum efficiency. And maybe nobody is able to do that. I don't know. But that one wasn't. And so those questions will always be there. But anyway, we don't need to rehash that tonight. I am going to go finish the Hall of Fame game. And I hope you guys enjoy that as well. We'll be back on Sunday, as always, as week two of training camp. We'll be talking about week two of training camp next time you guys hear from me. So I will see you then. I really appreciate your time, as always. Don't forget to like, subscribe, all that good stuff. And I will, I'll see you on Sunday night.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.